That song they just played, one of my favorite songs, that song planted seeds in my heart when I was a kid in a little Methodist church in Missouri, where I grew up. Those old songs planted seeds. And I remember one thing, this world belongs to the Father. And that song really showed me that. I know that some of you were here the Sunday that I talked about that story about the king and the queen that adopted this little poor little girl that didn't really have anything. And she was dressed in an old tattered dress. She only had one dress, and she wore that dress every day, and it had holes in it. And the king and the queen, just by their grace and just because they loved people, went down one day and picked up this little girl and took her to the palace. And she lived in the palace while she was growing up. But every morning, she'd get up and put on that little tattered dress. And if you'll remember, she had a closet. They showed her the closet. This closet was full of every beautiful dress and shoes and things to match and purses and anything a little girl would want. But every morning she put on that little tattered dress, wore it all day long. So finally one day they took her in there and they said, "These things are yours." And she said, "Well, I don't think I'm worthy. I don't think I'm good enough to wear these things." But they convinced her, and finally she began to wear these clothes, and she put that little tattered dress aside and began to wear these beautiful, queenly clothes. Now, I'm convinced that's the way most Christians are. I am convinced that they don't go into the closet that God prepared for them and wear what He's already provided. Religion is a terrible thing. Religion causes people not to feel worthy to wear the things of God. You're always striving for it. You always have to do this. You have to do that. And you have to do all this stuff to be acceptable to God. It's kind of like this picture that you saw probably as a kid. I saw this picture. There was a donkey, and they wanted this donkey to go someplace, so they'd tie a stick to the donkey's back and put on the end of that stick, out where the donkey couldn't quite reach it, a carrot. And they would cause that donkey was always trying to get that carrot, so he was always moving. So he was always going where he wanted to go, and wherever they wanted to go, they would just move that carrot around, and that donkey kept trying to get the carrot, and kept trying to get the carrot, and kept trying to get the carrot. He never did get that carrot. That carrot always eluded him. And that's the way most of us are about the things of God. It's a sad thing. Because we've been taught from the time we were this high up, you know, we're not really worthy of anything of God. And if God, you know, out of His love just reaches down and touches you, that's okay. But you're just going to have to gravel around in the ground the rest of your life because you're not really worthy of what God has for you. And if somebody hears a message, you know, God wants you, you are as loved by God as He loves Jesus Christ, they think, "Oh my goodness, that just doesn't sound real. It sounds like a fairy tale. It sounds, because I know all the things I've done, and I've known the terrible things I did before I got saved, and I just don't feel worthy of these things, and I just kind of want to stand back from God so that I don't contaminate Him in some way because I'm so bad." And if that's not the case, the old devil put somebody, your parents, your father, your mother, and they abused you and hassled you, and they didn't care much about anything, and maybe you grew up without having much, and maybe all you had was a tattered old dress, and maybe all you had was just one pair of jeans. And back when I was a kid, you wore jeans all the time, and My mother just kept washing that same pair of jeans all the time. She just kept washing that same pair. And I think I had maybe two or three shirts, and I wore those shirts for years and years. She just kept washing those shirts over and over again. And then you watch the so-called rich kids and the doctor's kids and the lawyer's kids, and, you know, they always had all the nice clothes. How many ever experienced anything like this? And they always had the nice clothes, and there you were in your little stuff. Some of us didn't even have shoes, and I had shoes. But some people didn't even have shoes, and you kind of admired those kids that had the nice shoes. But, you know, they were the smart ones. They were the beautiful ones. And somehow you just didn't quite fit in, and that's the way you live your life. Even after you get saved, you still have this same old feeling that you just don't quite fit in. And maybe God made a mistake when he touched your life. So you're kind of not sure about it all your life. And you don't really expect too much because you didn't have much. And so you don't expect too much. And so what a sad life. And that's the way most Christians live, if we're really honest about it. We know we're going to heaven, we know what the Bible says, and we're holding on to it with both hands and hope it's true. And we hope God accepts us up there, and we're trying to live a good life, and we're doing the best we can, and we fall every once in a while, but then we get back on the track, and we just... always working to get God to accept us. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I'm going to address that subject today. Because I'm here to tell you, God's got a closet full of good things for you. God's got kingly and queenly clothes for you. God's got all these good things. And it isn't a matter of being accepted, because listen to me, you've already been accepted. You'll never be more accepted than you are right now. That's what the Word of God says. You don't have to work to be accepted. If you know Christ, you are accepted. Now, you were accepted at the cross. Jesus said, "It's finished." Everything God was going to do, everything God is doing, everything God will do in the future was finished at the cross of Jesus Christ. And then he buried all that sin and everything in the ground with him, and he rose from the dead, born again. Born again. And so do you, are you and I. You know, we always think about that. Well, I've been teaching about this, about Adam. And Adam was an interesting guy because he was a direct creation of God. A direct creation of God. Just like the angels. Adam was a direct creation of God. Eve was not, because she came from Adam. We are not, because we came from Adam. But when you are born again, you become, right that moment, a direct creation of God. When you're born again, you become, even as Adam was, only better, and you become born in. You are a direct creation of God, and you are a son or daughter of God. Now, I'm going to tell you this morning, and I'm going to convince you that this is true by the Holy Spirit. I can't convince you of anything. The Holy Spirit's going to have to convince you to start living who you are. The Holy Spirit's going to have to get you to open that closet door and start putting on these new clothes. The Holy Spirit's going to have to convince you that you can wear shoes now. The Holy Spirit's going to have to convince you every morning when you get up, you're accepted by God. The Holy Spirit's going to have to convince you when you go down and you have breakfast, you're accepted by God. The Holy Spirit's going to have to do that. I can't do that. The Word of God is going to have to do it. In 1 Corinthians 3, in verse 9, Paul said something very interesting. He said, we are laborers together with God. You ought to underline that right there and put several stars by it. We are laborers together with God. He's talking about Christians. He's not talking about lost people. He's not talking about people without Christ. He's talking about Christians. We are laborers together with God, meaning we're accepted by Him. You see. We are God's cultivated field. We're God's building. He owns us. We're a part of Him. We can do what He wants us to do. According to the grace, verse 10, of God given unto me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation. Another man builds on it. But let every man take heed how he builds upon it. And here it is, verse 11. For there's no foundation can no man lay but that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The issue is this. If you're a Christian, Christ is the foundation of your life. He's already done the work. The only thing you can do now with the cooperation of the Holy Spirit is start building on the foundation that God has given you. You've got the carrot.
Thank you, Father.
You've got the carrot. It's yours. You're accepted right this minute. As much as you're going to be accepted ever by God, you are accepted right this minute. It does not depend on your actions. It depends on the actions of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Jesus.
But now your communication with God, that sort of thing depends on your actions. I don't want to say, give you the idea, just go out and do anything you want to, and everything's going to be cool. It's not. Not going to happen. Okay, let's go to Ephesians. I want you to see, Christ is the foundation of the whole thing. He's done His work. He set down because He was done as far as the major work of salvation and so forth was complete. Now look in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. We're going to go through scriptures. We're going to run through the scriptures. I'm going to show you what the Word of God says. And God wants you to quit living like a pauper when you belong to Him. It's just that simple. Ephesians 1:4. I want you to look at this. Ephesians 1:4. This is speaking to believers, not lost people, believers. This whole thing is speaking to believers. According as He has chosen us in Him, when? Before He ever created anything of this world. It says before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Now what that says is God knows everything. God knew who was going to come to Him, who was going to be lost. He knows who's going to hell. He knows who's going to heaven. He knows all of this stuff. And you could argue about a lot of little fine points here, but I don't think it's worth it. All I know is God says He chose me before the foundation of the world. He knew everything about me. He knew every sin I was ever going to commit. He knew everything good thing I was ever going to do. He knew I was going to pastor a church. But he was going to know that I was going to act like the devil until I got saved. You see, He knew all of that stuff, and He chose me.
Right.
He made a choice.
Right.
He chose to love me before I was ever born. Now, can I explain all that? No, I cannot, and I don't have to. God just says that's the way it is, and I believe it.
Right.
Are you listening to me?
Right.
I have to believe what God says. If I can't believe what God says, I might as well go to hell right now.
Right.
You see, there's no point in living if you can't believe what the Word of God says. I can't explain all of chapter 4. I just know it's true. Because God said it is, and the Holy Spirit's put that in my heart. Hallelujah. You're chosen before the foundation of the world if you know Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to tell you that. And He knew everything you would ever do. And He chose you anyway. Now that's what makes Christianity a joyous relationship. That's why Christians sing. Some people say, I just don't understand why they're down to that church and all they do is sing for all that time. I just don't understand it. Well, if you knew Jesus, you would. Are you listening to me? We don't sing long enough.
That's right. Get on it, brother.
I mean, we're just about getting started and we quit.
That's right.
Somebody says, well, I just, you know, they just keep singing those songs. Keep singing those songs down there. And I got news. We're going to sing them louder and we're going to sing more of them. Hallelujah, because we have a Savior. You see. And we just have to start believing what the Bible says and not what people say. And we certainly don't want to believe religion because that'll have you chasing that dumb carrot all the time. And I'm getting too old and too tired to do that. So I'm not going to do it. God had his eyes on you before the foundation of the world. I said he had his eyes on you before the foundation of the world. The Bible says we were in God. We were the seed of God. We were in him. We all come from Adam. Well, if you're a Christian, it changes. Now you all come from God. And we're going back to God. If you didn't come from God, you're not going to go back to God. It's just that simple. So this better be true, you see. Now, the provision's already been made. The atonement's already been accomplished. Salvation was just waiting for you. Now listen, salvation was just waiting for you to reach out and take hold of it. That's all we can do is reach out and take hold of it. It's like looking in a window and seeing a beautiful pie in there or something, and you're looking at it, and you're looking at it and say, oh, man, that's beautiful. Oh, that'd be so good to eat. It's just so wonderful. I never seen a pie like that in my life. Well, you can stand out there the rest of your life and admire the dumb thing and never taste it.
That's right.
And that's what a lot of people do. That's what religion does. You're just admiring God, but you never taste God. Jesus said, taste and see that I am good. Amen? That's what he said, taste and see that I am good. There's got to be a time you open the door, go in the store, grab that pie, and pay for it and eat it. There's a lot of people who bought the pie, took it home, put it under glass, put a light on there and said, this is a beautiful pie. I want everybody to see it the rest of their life.
Right.
And they never taste of what God has for them. You know, that's sad.
Yes, it is.
That's a sad thing. And that's what religion does. Religion just admires God but never tastes him. Oh, they sing and they do various things, but they never taste God. They never grab for themselves what God has provided for them. You see, all we can do is choose and believe and take the things of God. That's what he wants us to do. Wouldn't it be dumb if you come down for breakfast and put all that food out there on the table and say, oh, that's not for you. That's the mentality of a lot of Christians. They read this stuff in the Bible, but they just kind of skip over some of that stuff because they don't believe that's for them. They've never tasted of it. And I want you to taste and see that he is good. God already made the provision before you ever had the need, before you were ever born, before you ever sinned, before you ever did anything good. God had already provided it. If it depended on you, Look in Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to continue to read. Verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of sons by Jesus Christ to himself. That's what I'm talking about. Just like that little girl was adopted into that king and queen's family, we're adopted into the family of God. And I'm going to tell you, he's above the king and the queens. We're adopted into this family. There's everything there you'll ever need. Eternally. Not just for the now.
That's right.
For the eternally part of it. Goes on, to himself according. Now I want you to see this. Having adopted us, having put your name there, having adopted Jerry unto the adoption of sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, God decided to do it. Do you know something? That God can do anything he wants to? Can't break his own law. There's a few things he can't do. But the thing is that God can do everything with his creation he wants to. And the same way with us, but he gave us a manual and explained to us how it all works. And that's what we're looking at today. Look in it says in verse 5, according to the good pleasure of his will, verse 6, through the praise of the glory of his grace, through which he made us accepted. That can't hardly mean that. I thought we had to work for it. It said he made us. It didn't say, well, if you go to church long enough, read your Bible enough, do all this good stuff, which is all good. It says he made us accepted in the beloved. There's no chasing any carrots. It's receiving what he's done. He made us accepted in the beloved. It has nothing to do with your actions, but your actions should demonstrate that after you get saved. Not saying it shouldn't, but I'm saying here he made us accepted in the beloved. We didn't have anything to do with it. I heard this true story about some people. They were rich and they wanted to adopt some kids, so they go over to Russia and they went into this orphanage. It happens all the time. And there's all those kids standing there smiling. Choose me, choose me, choose me. They chose 5 kids. They just chose them. They didn't know anything about them. They were dirty. They were a mess. They chose these kids. They decided to do it. They took the trip. They paid for it all. They had the tickets to go back. The kids didn't have anything to do with it but take their hand and go. And I'm going to tell you, that's what salvation is, taking the hand of God and going with him. That's what it is. He said he chose us. And that's exactly what it is. We should start acting like we believe this is true. Instead of murmuring, complaining, and carrying on all the time like we're some no good paupers that don't have shoes. Most Christians are trying to do things. Oh, I'm going to be holy. Oh, I'm going to be holy before the Lord. They're reading the Word of God, they're tithing, they're fasting and doing all that stuff. But the problem is it's all good, but they're doing it for the wrong reason, because they're trying to do it to be accepted. And if you're a Christian, you're already accepted. You do it because of the joy of knowing that you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Christianity is. Everything else, the cults, the religion, all this stuff, almost said denomination, I'd have to forgive something, but anyway. The issue is they're always trying to get you to work to get there. Go to church so many times, say so many Hail Marys, do all this stuff. And if you do all this stuff say 5 prayers with your back to the wall or some dumb thing, then you're going to be accepted by God. And that's totally the opposite the way it is. It's not that way. Does that mean we can do anything we want to? Absolutely not. That's not the issue. The issue is here. You cannot make yourself accepted by God. You cannot make yourself accepted to God. You can only receive it because he's already chosen you and he wants to put you in your family. He says, come with me, and you have to decide whether to come or not. You can say no, or you can go with him. So what I'm getting at, quit trying and struggling and striving to be accepted. You are. Now, and I know there's people right now listening to me, right here in this room, that's saying, I just don't believe that. Well, that's why you're living the way you are. You can't make yourself acceptable. That's getting on a treadmill to nowhere. How many of you ever get very far on a treadmill? You just keep going, man, you're going, you're working, you're moving. You might be running or you might be walking real slow. But you're in the same spot when you get off as when you got on. Are you listening to me?
That's right.
Now, that's the way most Christians are. I kid you not, that's the way it is. I don't know about you. I've been on the road a while, and I'm a long ways from where I was when I got saved. But it's because of Jesus Christ, not me. I just grabbed a hold of what he had. I've been eating what he had, man. He's got the Word of God over here and something else over here. I'm taking it all in. Give it to me, Lord. Load it on me. Dump the whole thing. Because I want to eat of this thing. I want everything that I can possibly have. I'm talking about in spiritual things on this earth. And if God says I can be like Jesus, bring it on.
Amen.
Not because of me, but because of him. He wants to do it, you see. And this thing, striving for it and trying to work for it, is a bunch of nonsense. It's not in the Word of God. Now, religion have all these people, well, I hope I get there, and if I die, maybe somebody will pray for me and get me into heaven. Find that in the Bible. You're talking about man made that stuff up. It's not in there. Anywhere. And people are doing all this stuff and driving themselves crazy with this stuff. And it has nothing to do whatsoever with God or anything else. Now, we're very simply just blinded to the truth. Now, okay, what we have to do is surrender to God. He's already won the war. He's the victor. He's the captain. He's won this thing. Just surrender. I give up, God. I'm yours. To the praise of the glory of his grace, verse 6, through which he has made us accepted in the beloved. If we would just get that verse right there, it would be a good start. We'd be moving out to somewhere, right there. Now, we're accepted. Now, I want to show you something very interesting. Go to Luke 1:28. Luke 1:28. Now, this is the story about, hold your finger in Ephesians, we'll be bouncing around back in there again. But the issue is, this is a story about Mary and the angel. The angel was Gabriel. And Gabriel came to Mary. And Mary, I'm sure, was a wonderful person. I'm sure she was great. She was a virgin. She was holy in the sense that she was a Christian, and we'd call her, and very nice lady. But here I want you to see what God said about this thing. Go to Luke 1:26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man named Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Now look in verse 28, because this is extremely important for you. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail thou who art highly favored. The Lord is with you. Blessed art thou among women. Nobody ever heard of this lady outside of the village before this. I mean, she wasn't a Christian hero. She wasn't on TBN or Church Channel or any of that stuff. Nobody who knew who she was except her fiancé and her family, of course. And I'm sure she was wonderful. But here comes this angel and said, and as far as we know, she hadn't done anything particularly other than be a good Christian, we would call her. And he said, Hail, thou art highly favored. How'd she go from being a Christian to be highly favored? What'd she do? Nothing. God made her highly favored. It's the same word. Same word for highly favored is in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 6, where it says, He has made us accepted in the Beloved. That word accepted is the same word for highly favored. It's only two places in the New Testament, right there in Ephesians, and when the angel was talking to Mary. So I don't know what you've done, haven't done, might do, think you might want to do. If you're a Christian, you are highly favored by God.
That's right. That's right.
And what that means is, she said, God's made you highly favored. Well, what's that mean? That means you're going to have a baby, Mary. There's something going to be birthed in you that you didn't have anything to do with other than become a vessel to be used by God. Because God is going to put something in you that's going to cause a baby to be born, and he's going to be the Son of God. Whew. Woo! Highly favored. That's a... Whoa! That's pretty exciting.
Yep.
Mary was just so wonderful. She probably had something special about her. God just kind of had his eye on her. She was probably better than most people, and she had this queenly quality about her and all this stuff. Nonsense. Mm-hmm. She wasn't any different than you and I.
That's right.
And I'm going to tell you right now, God says you're highly favored. I got something I want to birth in you. I've got something I want to do in your life. All you have to do is say yes. You know what, Mary? You know how hard Mary worked at having that child? She said, Be it unto me according to your word. And that's all she did. So that's what God's saying to you and me. All we got to do is get up every day and say, Lord, be it unto me according to your word. Now we got to be in our, we know we got to read our Bible. We know we go to church. We know we do these basic things that God wants us to do because they're in the word of God. But the issue is, the main issue is, you've already highly favored. God's already got a seed he wants to put in you, wants to do something. And all you have to do right now is say, Be it unto me according to your word, God. And you would see God is going to do some things in your life you didn't think was ever possible in this life. Religion says you can't do anything. If God's going to do anything, he's going to do it to the priest, he's going to do it to the pastor, he's going to do it through the elders, you're going to do it through somebody else, you're just a peon, you'll probably be one the rest of your life, and so just kind of cower under everybody else and you'll be all right. I don't see that in the Word of God.
Tell it, brother.
It says, all you got to do is say, Be it unto me according to your word, Lord. And he does it. You didn't have anything to do with it. He'll do it. And all you have to do is act it out in your life. Let him use you as a vessel in this world. He didn't tell the angels to come down and do it. He said, You and I are to do it if we allow him. Because we are accepted. We're highly favored. Be it unto me, Lord. And it's possible it can be done.
That's right.
Only two times in the New Testament, one of them caused the birth of Christ. That puts you in the same category as Mary. That puts you in the same possibility as Mary. You see. Well, what everybody did then, started naming everybody Mary because they thought maybe that name had something to do with it. It wasn't the name. It was the God. You see. And we work so hard, we just get so tired, and we say, oh, God, I just can't do this. And he said, now we can finally do something because you can't do anything. God has to do it. God's going to do it in your life. All you have to do is say yes. All you have to do is surrender. If it's going so good the way you're doing it now, well, just keep on going that way and be all messed up. You know what I'm saying? As Dr. Phil says, how's that working for you? How many knows that God can probably do a couple more things than we can?
That's right. At least two.
Yeah, at least. And that's the issue. I'm trying to get you to the point where nothing is impossible for those that believe God. You see. He shall supply all of our needs according. He didn't say you're going to go out there and work like crazy. We are to work. We know that. We make a living. We do all this stuff. But you know what I'm talking about. No Christians do not believe the Lord's accepted them right now. They don't believe that. Oh, when 10 years from now, when I've matured, God might accept me and use me for something. Yeah, if you live that long, that's right. They're longing for it, they're hoping for it, but they don't understand they already have it. They keep going for the carrot, and keep going for the carrot, and keep going for the carrot. They're on that treadmill. We ought to have a treadmill here and put a big sign on their religion. We really ought to do that. The truth is, God loves you right now. Before you go out the door, God loves you. God accepts you right now. That's the truth. He can't love you anymore than he already does. That's what you have to understand. You can't make God, there's no such thing as God loving you more. There is no such thing. He loves you now with a perfect love, and the Bible says with the same love that he loves who? Jesus Christ. It doesn't get any better than that. And we're down here, oh God, you know, I just don't know if I'm going to make it. I got this habit, I can't get rid of it. And we're worrying about all this junk when he's already accomplished everything he wants to do. It's done. We just have to reach out and get it. We get a hold of him. You won't have to worry about addictions or anything else. You got to get a hold of God. You got to have the Holy Spirit start working through you what you already are in your spirit. I keep trying to tell you, in your spirit, you're holy. In your spirit, you're righteous, if you're a Christian. In your spirit, you're loved, etc., etc. It's all there. You just have to get it out into your life. And you do that by faith. You believe God for it. Without faith, it's impossible to believe God. You have to believe he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And the seeking of it is, God, start bringing that stuff out of my spirit into my life. Get that apple pie out of there, out there where I can taste it. You see what I'm saying? Give me those clothes, man. Give me in that closet, and I'm getting rid of this old stuff, and I'm going to start putting on the things of God, you see. And you know what religion says? God loves you according to your performance. If you're performing good today, then God loves you. If you're not tomorrow, maybe he doesn't love you quite as much. Or, you know, he's waiting until you get it back together, and then he's going to love you again. God never stops loving you. I always say, for anybody to go to hell, they have to climb over Jesus.
That's right.
I mean, we get this dumb idea that God's up there just wants to put the fire on everybody and looking for people who he can beat on. That is nonsense. It's just the opposite. He's waiting, looking for people who will love him back. He's looking for people who will accept his love. He's looking for people that will allow him to be God.
Amen.
Because he gave us a free will, and we can say no to you, God. We got to start getting our thinking right. It's not, well, at the end of my life, I hope I got it pretty good, so I'll be accepted. It's not that kind of a deal. I was accepted in 1970 on a Sunday night in a Baptist church where the old preacher just loved Jesus. That's when I became highly favored of God. Right there. He can't love you anymore than he does. The cross was complete. What else you want God to do? Well, if you got something else you want God to do just to prove it, well, tell him about it. See how that goes. You know, the cross was it. We saw that movie, The Passion, the other day, some of us. And I'll tell you there, if you watch that thing, you're going to say, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord bless you. Oh, hallelujah to Jesus. You want to get on your face and stay there before the Lord, you see. So this thing isn't true about, you know, God loves you when you mess up. He may not communicate with you too well. You know, sin breaks communication, doesn't break a relationship. You can't find that anywhere in the Bible. If you can find it, I'll be glad to look at it. He's going to love you. He loves somebody on death row if they love him. I said he loves somebody on death row if they love him.
Right.
If they're a Christian, they're probably going to die. But what's the worst thing that's going to happen? They're going to be with Jesus. He's not condoning what they did. They're paying for that mess. But the issue is, and we pay for our sin in this life, not the next one. If you're a Christian, we're accepted. Look, in Ephesians 1, verse 7, it just gets better. Boy, you ought to read Ephesians and read Ephesians till the pages fall out of your Bible. And when they fall out, eat them. That's what they did in the Old Testament. They ate the Word of God. They actually did. God take a piece of the Bible and he says, okay, Jeremiah, eat it. That kind of gives us an idea how serious God is about his word, wouldn't you think? Okay. Now he says, in whom we have redemption. In whom we have redemption. Does that say have or will have? Have redemption. There it is. In whom we have redemption through what we do. What's it say? Through his blood. The forgiveness may be in the future. No, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of our works. His grace. There it is. Now, I will guarantee you this. I'll stake my life on it. God will never change his mind about that scripture. There will never be any scripture elsewhere in the Bible that would negate that scripture right there. It's not going to happen. That is truth, truth, truth. The Bible says Jesus Christ is the truth. Now, you've already been forgiven completely. Now, what happens if I sin tomorrow? There'll be consequences. If I hit my finger with a hammer, there's going to be consequences. I mean, it's in this life. We haven't got any business sinning as Christians. And we pay the price if you want to mess around with that stuff. But the issue is, we've already completely been forgiven. Jesus dealt with your sins. Now listen to this carefully. Jesus dealt with your sins at the cross. He paid for all of your sins, past, present and future. You say, well, how can that be? How can God pay for the sins that I haven't committed yet? Because when Jesus died to pay for your sins, you hadn't committed anything yet. You weren't alive. All your sins were future when Jesus Christ died on the cross. So it's no problem to God. Take care of your future sins. Nobody's perfect. Hopefully we're not going to intentionally sin. You are totally accepted on what Jesus has done. The only thing we did was sin. What he did was righteousness, paying for the sin. You say, well, what about what I've done? All we did was sin before we got saved. This is called eternal redemption. Look in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 12. And it's time for me to quit about 15 minutes ago. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 12. Oh, I'm glad I don't have to do a great job today because I'm accepted in Jesus Christ. I'm going to do the best I can. I hope the Holy Spirit's teaching you something. But I'm guaranteeing you this, I'm not going to worry about it. Because I'm accepted in Jesus Christ. Hebrews 9:12, and we're going to quit with this today. I'm not through with the message, but we'll quit today. Hebrews 9:12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place,